Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that serves as the basis of today's message is from the fifth book of Moses, Leviticus, the 19th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, some of you may remember what it was like back during the time that the civil rights movement really picked up speed. Now, like them or hate them, people like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. and Ralph Abernathy and Rosa Parks, they were all part of that. They're names that we all know. I wasn't alive back then, but I imagine that the country felt a lot like what it does right now. Last week, two young black men were shot, and it seems to me, and this is just my humble and uneducated opinion unjustifiably, and they were shot by the police. And then we've got police members who are targeted for death during a peaceful demonstration. They're targeted by snipers and killed. I heard there was even a deputy from Wisconsin that was shot and wounded. This has been going on for years. But there's now a feeling of restlessness, of the need for justice, of the need for change. And it's become palpable in the last few months. It's almost as if you can feel it in the humid air. I mean, let's name it, shall we? Racism. It is an evil that the devil has brought into this world to separate us. Black versus white, white versus Latino, Trump versus the world, Planned Parenthood versus African Americans. We love, because of our sinful hearts, we love to find differences in people. We exaggerate them. And it's also that we can what? Feel better about ourselves? Protect ourselves? Protect what we think is our way of life? Today, racism, this evil, it pervades our culture. And it has for centuries. And I feel like now we're getting to a time again where we can stand up and say, no more of this. We have the opportunity to teach our children and our grandchildren, our friends and our family, that racism deserves just as much opportunity to exist as does abortion, which is to say that it doesn't at all. Now, I will readily admit to you that there are cultural differences that we all grow up in. For instance, when I was a kid, we lived in Hawaii. My dad was in the military. He was stationed over there. And I was in the fourth and fifth grade when kids are ever so nice to one another. And by most of the population, the Hawaiians, the Polynesians, the Japanese who live there, they would call me Howley, which is a very bad but very accepted word that you can use. All it means is I was a whitey. In fact, I was so white when I lived there that tourists would stop me at the Pearl Harbor Memorial. Japanese tourists, really, for the most part. Not for me to take their picture, but actually to take their picture with me so that they could show their family back home a white boy who doesn't tan with white blonde hair, if you can imagine that on top. I mean, at the time I was a kid, I didn't really care. It didn't matter to me. I couldn't imagine why people would want a picture of me in their scrapbook, but, you know, whatever. But while I was there, what was happening around me, and I didn't perceive this until later, is racism is alive and well. And if I get down into it, I think it's because the ones who mocked me couldn't understand how it was that I grew up without their skin color, without their challenges. And I think it's the same today. I can't imagine growing up a black man with fear in my heart and my mind, thinking that maybe I would be the next to be gunned down. Of course, I can't imagine growing up a Japanese boy in the 40s, shoved into an internment camp with my family because the government is afraid of all of us. Can't imagine being an Irish Catholic in the early 1900s, put out into the ghettos with signs that say, "For hire, no Irish." See, I can't imagine what it's like to be anybody other than who I am and how I was raised. But I can try to listen to those who struggle. I can empathize with those who hurt. I can try to understand, and I can do that, and I want to do that, because our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't see the color of skin. In fact, we worship a man here today whose skin is darker than most people here, whose culture is so thoroughly different than anything we find in America. We worship a man who grew up Jewish in a Middle Eastern land, who spoke Aramaic, not English. And he paid for things in shekels and drachmas and denarii, not dollars and cents. Jesus is more different than me in every way I could even begin to think of, and yet he calls me his brother. He calls me a son of God. He calls me a friend. From the beginning of the law of Moses, it should be clear to us that God knew there would be differences among us. Men and women, adults and children, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor. And he made clear that no matter what, we are supposed to care for those who would be our neighbor. Whether that's the poor man begging on our street, or the woman who comes into the fields at night because she can't afford the market, or the traveler who comes into your land looking for a place to stay, God made it clear we are to take care of them. Now, you guys know this, right? In the Lutheran Church, we have a good word for this. It's a big word. Doesn't mean what you think it might mean. Vocation. I love talking about vocation. Vocation's a fancy word. We use it a lot just to refer to our jobs, but in the theological sense, it's more than just your job. It's a calling. God calls us into our vocations. He calls us into different roles. For instance, I am called to be a husband. I am called to be a husband because my wife literally said that she would have me. And because of that, I'm faithful to her. I love her. I cherish her. I serve her. And I'm called to be a daddy because my wife gave birth to our son. And so I'm called to instruct him and to raise him up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, and I'm called to serve him. And I'm called to be a son and a brother and a friend, and I serve people through those roles. And this morning, I'm even called to be a pulpit supply pastor. And I serve you all. In all of my callings, I am called to serve my neighbor in love. And God's law doesn't say it's okay if they look different, right? See, serving our neighbor is the second greatest commandment, right? Just heard it today in the gospel. The first is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says it is the second greatest thing that you can do in the entire world. And all it is a summation of what Moses wrote when he heard it from God's mouth. From God's mouth to creating everything in Genesis, to God's mouth in Leviticus this morning, to God's mouth in Matthew for telling that Jesus is coming, and then hearing from Jesus himself, and all the way to God's mouth in Revelation when he declares all things new. The message of God is the same. Love God, love your neighbor. Now that could mean a lot of different things. Again, fathers love children, spouses love spouses, doctors love their patients, teachers love their pupils, judges love their plaintiffs and their defendants, and God love them, even the lawyers. Carpenters love their clients, and children love their parents. The list of possible vocations that you have, even that you fill this moment, can go on and on. But today it's on my mind because it's been all over the news to speak really about this idea of race and how we love our neighbors with different skin than what we have. I'm not saying it's easy all the time. I'm not. We're prone to sinful outbursts of the flesh, and that's not good. It's hard. I'm not saying that we all need to go down and protest with those who are protesting like they did in Minneapolis last night. But if it is just, and if it is peaceful, and if it is obeying the law, then by all means, you are free to do that. But maybe today you just start with prayer. Maybe today you pray for peace and reconciliation. Maybe you pray that the eugenics in our society, that false science of choosing which baby lives and which one dies based on the color of their skin or their gender or their genetic predisposition, maybe that can finally end and we can bury Darwin once and for all. Maybe you pray that God would affect someone by his word during these tragic times and send someone who may just happen to be of another race or another culture or another way of thinking so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Because it certainly is good news in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, the whole world, red and yellow and black and white, everyone is precious in his sight. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world. God loved that world. God sent his only begotten Son into that world, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. God the Son, Jesus Christ, died for black people. He died for white people. He died for Asian people. He died for all people. And he died for you. He died for you. He died to forgive you all of your sins. Jesus Christ lived, and he died, and he lives now, even according to the law, even the law that we heard this morning in Leviticus, so that we who deal with the racism that has become epidemic in this country, we who struggle I think, sometimes to see that every person is a valued and beloved child of God. He died so that you, we, all would be saved. Jesus loved the whole world so that as you struggle to do so, you can have confidence that the one who is righteous counts you righteous too. Jesus loved the whole world, not seeing culture, not skin, not body type, not hair color, not freckles or moles, but he died seeing that each person is created to bear the image of God. And the image of God is one of love. God loved the world. God served the world. God served you so that you who might be saved by him would have immeasurable riches, because he gives them all to you. You are freed in Christ to love your neighbor to the best of your ability. And you don't have to do that in order to be saved. None of your works will save you, but they will bring you joy. And they serve your neighbor who desperately needs them. Your neighbor needs your good works. Your neighbor needs your vocation. And you can do that, not fearing that God is going to condemn you because you haven't done it perfectly, but you can do your vocation joyfully, knowing that your sins are forgiven through the death of Jesus Christ. What do you imagine that a world without racism looks like? A world without letting differences divide us. I like to dream about that world. I don't think that we will achieve it here. I don't. We all struggle with sin, and sin's consequences always break up the love between neighbors. So sin has to be removed. And so I know of a world that is coming. We're not going to achieve it, and we don't have to, because Christ has already done that. He has already promised that it is so. And he has told us that he is coming back to show us that world. He's coming back to take this broken world that we live in and remake it, reform it into a new earth where there is no sin and no sadness and no tears and no children gunned down in the streets, no questionable police activity, no growing up in violent homes, no begging for food, no lack of shelter. He's coming back to resurrect you into that world. He's coming back to bring your body up from the grave to make you new, to make your body like his glorious body. He's coming back to fulfill his promise to us that we will be made perfect like he is, because he will have wiped away all of our sin. Racism is a huge problem. It's true. It's a part of sin. It's evil, because it's a child of sin and the devil. And racism is something we should struggle against, to try to purge from ourselves as we really try to leave our sins behind in Christ. Yet thanks be to God, who has given to us all grace in Jesus Christ, who's died to free us from our sin. And he did this for all people. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, black nor white, Asian nor Aborigine. through Him who loves us. Even when we should have been despicable to Him in our sin, through Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, we are freed into an everlasting life of peace and blessedness, not only with Him, though certainly that, but with each other through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believing in His name, we shall see that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.